I'm Viv Creef, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm being joined by Douglas Sharp and Elaine Wallace. What we've done is I've prepared a brief introduction to critical reflection workshops, and then we're going to have two reflectors talking about their experiences. So it's a slightly different presentation to the last one. Okay, what is critical reflection? Jan Fuch and Udrid Askeland said, a process of analysing practice in order to reframe the practice in a way that represents the complexity and integrated nature of that experience. It's quite dense, that, but it actually describes really well what critical reflection is. Small groups of practitioners come together to assist one another to reflect on an example from professional practice. These incidents that we're talking about might be called critical incidents. They're specific and concrete examples of practice that are significant to the person who brought them forward. And critical reflection aims to connect the personal experiences of day-to-day practice with wider professional and political issues. So far, so good. What it is not, I think, is just as important as what it is. It is not group supervision, it's not therapy, and it's not focused on finding solutions or solving problems. And actually, this was probably the biggest challenge for us as a critical reflection group, was to get out of the mode of making suggestions. We're all problem solvers. So when somebody presented a situation or a case for us to discuss, it was awfully easy for the participants there to say, oh, have you thought about this, or did you try that? That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was not group supervision, and we were not trying to find solutions. What we were trying to do was to get under the surface of the case, get under the surface of the situation, and think, what's going on? How do I relate to this? How does this relate to the wider things that are happening in society? So it was that bigger picture we were looking for, rather than problem solving. And that was a challenge, I think, for everybody. So what we did, 12 social workers took part, 8 from the city of Edinburgh and 4 from East Lothian. We met on 5 mornings between April and June, and we had a 6th session in October to look back over the process. Participants were expected to read articles and research literature in advance, so the first part of every session was spent in reviewing the literature that we'd read from the night before, often. And often it literally was the night before that the practitioners and ourselves, the academics, quickly caught up to speed with the literature so that we could come in the next morning and actually not be found out as not having done our homework. So the first part of the session taken up with reviewing key literature, which predominantly Mark and I haven't said Mark Smith and I were the two academics on this project, predominantly Mark and I produced, but it wasn't just Mark and I, sometimes practitioners suggested reading as well. Then we had the case discussion, and then at the end of every session there was time for individual reflection. And that was very important for us as a way of keeping tabs on the learning that was going on for people week by week. So our findings. Most social workers got a lot out of the sessions. They enjoyed the reading, they enjoyed the case discussions, and they appreciated the encouragement to reflect on what they were learning. So all three bits seemed to be useful. People appreciated hearing other stories and felt supported within the group. Again, that was very important. If you're actually going to ask practitioners to discuss cases, it's important that they feel that they're not going to be got at or criticised for practice that might seem to be not fully formed or not as they might want it to be. So trust was really important. Social workers welcomed the opportunity to meet with academic staff as co-constructors of knowledge on a regular basis. And I think we all appreciated that. It really was a team approach. Each tried to take some of their learning back to their workplace, but with limited success, and that's what we're going to hear a little bit more about. key observations included. On the one hand, it just evaporates. It's difficult to keep new ideas alive and return to the pressures of the real world. The critical reflection workshops and reading around them were an additional pressure. There was little or no scope for doing this work in work time. And I think that's something we're going to hear more of. Organisational issues can make it very difficult to retain or maintain one's sense of professional identity, we found. We heard about the metaphor of the box and the linear meter, and how difficult it is for social workers to be creative and imaginative practitioners in the reorganised world of hot desking and linear meters. So that was on the one hand, and on the other hand, it fractals. New ideas, contacts seep out in all kinds of ways, and we're inevitably changed in a positive way by this experience of co-learning, and we can build on this. So we're going to have further thoughts from our two critical reflectors. Elaine, would you like to start?
Hi there. I wondered if I was going to appear above this or not, but just... it's nice to see so many familiar faces. I changed my language from old faces earlier to familiar faces. I'm just going to talk ever so briefly, really, about my experience as being part of this process. And to be honest, it's led to more questions than answers. That is the nub of it all. You know, in terms of the knowledge exchange project overall, you know, the practitioner-led research is, you know, something we've heard about. It's been really interesting hearing about it, and it's something that excites me, and it's exciting that that exchange of information is going on. And it fits within the context that we all work in the, you know, local authorities that we've been hearing about already, really, in terms of outcomes. We have to be able to show that we've done something for our time. We need to account for our time, which is correct. But we are expected to provide concrete outcomes or evidence of those outcomes. And in terms of the critical reflection process and the aim of sort of broader cultural change or increasing, you know, learning culture, by its nature, it's less tangible, you know, a much, much more subtle process. And, you know, so I stand here with some anxiety that I can't actually show you an outcome. I don't know what it is yet. For me, you know, it's doing whatever it's doing behind the scenes. I consider myself as a reflective practitioner. Being part of the group was not an unfamiliar feeling to me. It felt a wee bit like going home to, you know, what we all started out doing as social workers, I reckon. And I did, however, experience that disconnect between being in that environment and then arriving back in the usual work environment, you know, and the demands that we all face, you know, and immediately having to respond to those demands and, you know, experiencing difficulty in how do I integrate this process into and ground it in, you know, the experience of my usual environment. That's the question. You know, I don't have the answer, but that's, you know, that is the question. But it's raised really a series of questions in my mind, that if we are to create a learning culture, and it's been really interesting hearing some of the other things that are going on in Edinburgh and in East Lothian, you know, how do we do this within the context and the culture of, you know, target-driven performance, performance-related pay, increasing sort of corporatisation. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I suspect we all know kind of what that means. And, you know, but that one size fits all. When we know as people, we know from our clients that we've got a different range of needs. We know that as practitioners and learners, we learn in different ways and we have different needs. We know that the working relationship is key in any social work intervention, and we know, as we've heard earlier, that our practice is now held in many ways within increasingly precise, prescriptive procedures. And, you know, we've heard about, you know, Eileen Munro's review, you know, and she talks about compliance-driven practice more than sound judgment, and asked the very question, how can we create a system for learning from practice which counteracts blame and allows for critical professional reflection? and in the changing lives, 21st century social work talks of, you know, social work has lost touch with some of its core purpose and is lacking in confidence in its own skills. And, you know, so the question is, how do we promote the learning culture, taking all of this into account and, you know, recognising for all of us we're in the context of significant financial challenge and you know, restrictions. And you'll not be surprised to hear I don't have the answers to that. This hasn't, you know, suddenly turned the light bulb on. But I do know that being part of that process gave me a bit of a breathing space, gave me a chance to really take stock of my own values as a social worker, and an opportunity to fill up, not as a technician, as somebody who is overseeing and following the rules, although I do my best to do that, but to fill up as a professional. So that's all I'd like to say, and I'd like to invite Douglas up to speak a little bit more about it.
Thanks very much indeed, Elaine. Thank you.
Firstly, I'd like to say this was a valuable learning opportunity. And I hold the dual identity of being a social worker and a social worker and a psychotherapist. So I valued coming together with others to exchange ideas and stories. I learned from the papers that were shared, but in particular I learned with and through the others that were in the room through reflection. And Viv has asked me to... Viv's asked me to say something that came up in a conversation about in our last meeting when we were discussing how to take forward critical reflection. And I likened this to fractals. Now, I don't know a great amount about fractals. This was more of a spontaneous idea, so if there's any mathematicians in the room, I ask them not to be too critical of my reflection. On that. So here's the definition of fractals, and I'll let you just kind of read through that yourselves, which I'm sure you've done. And there's a few kind of pretty pictures of what fractals may be. So what's this got to do with social work? And in fact, how do I go back? I imagine doing that. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. There's a couple of things I want to just pull out here. The first one being the idea of random or chaotic phenomena, which is in there some down the second last line. Now, as a social worker, I interact on a daily basis at a human level, and predictability is often low, and chaos is too often high. And to exemplify this chaos, think for a moment about the number of relationships we all have going on at once. How many people are in your immediate family? For me, it's four. If I add, that's six relationships. And if I add my mother to this, that's 10. My partner's father, that's 15. My brother, that's 21, and so on and so on. And in a team of 30 people, there's 435 relationships going on at the same time. So applying that to the families I work with in social work and ask, you know, how do I make sense of this complexity, this chaos? And to address that some way, there's another part I want to pull out here, and that's in the third sentence, modelling the structures in which similar patterns recur at progressively smaller scales. So, you know, what did I learn about reflection in this environment? Well, it gave me the opportunity to make sense of the information by making connections between ideas, experiences, and emotions. And the important part of it, I think, is that it's done through meeting with others who support the process of reflection. For me, the critical part of reflection was entering into that dynamic exchange of information. So, yeah, and the similarity and the difference element there, and then asking the questions, okay, what's here for me to take away into my practice? And what's more, I think that reflection is critical to my own effective practice in social work. I think the structure and the pattern that we created in the group was robust. More and more I'm noticing it at various levels of my own daily practice. If that's a brief chat about In the passing with a colleague, if I'm using theory to make sense of a person's situation, or questioning my own decision making. So, you know, it does, it fractals. However, I believe that there's most to be gained through committing to this structured process and with others in doing that. So, just to end and summarise, basically, I was supported to arrive with my chaos, complexity, feel held by the structure. We shared in the ideas and stories. We experienced support with each other, and to continue with the theme of puddings and starters, we chewed it over, we digested despite what we didn't use. We got what we need, I hope. And I walked away having changed even just a little. But as Nancy said, Elaine said, it's immeasurable. So, okay. Thanks.
That's terrific. There's just one last slide here that says, thanks to all those who took part.